Welcome to the Virtually Analog Podcast, where we explore Board Game Arena and the ever-blurring line between board and video games. I'm Lex, and I love board games.
I'm Shay, and I love video games.
Shay, it might be time to redo this intro.
I was thinking about that as you were talking. I was like, I think I might play more board games on VGA than you do.
So. I think you might be right. It's pretty crazy. You've been really getting into tournaments, which we'll have to talk about. Maybe we do like a whole episode about like Board Game Arena tournaments, because I find I've done a few tournaments on Board Game Arena, and I've always gotten like absolutely stomped. So I tend not to do it. I'm just not competitive enough for like that scene. But you seem to have been really enjoying doing that. So we'll have to maybe at the end of this episode or on another episode, we'll talk about what it's like to play tournaments on Board Game Arena. What do you think?
Oh, sure. We could talk about what it's like to play Castles of Burgundy tournament on
Board Game Arena. Yeah, that's one of the tournaments I have done. And man, those people do not mess around. People who are good at castles are really good at castles. They really take that game seriously.
Yeah, they are.
Agricola is like that too, actually.
Super.
A game that you and I just played, Uwe Rosenberg game. It's a fun game, but you can really like min-max it, and people love getting really competitive with it. So we'll have to discuss that as well later. But that's not what we're doing today. Today is a very special episode. Usually on this podcast, we talk about one or two games that we've been playing on Board Game Arena and kind of review them and rank them and stuff. Since our last episode, we have officially hit 30 games. And I think what we want to try to do is after we hit certain milestones like that, we want to look back and see if our tastes have changed and see if some of these games should be kind of moved around on the ranking. So each one of these games that we're going to be talking about today, we have an episode on. We can do a very, very brief, discussion on these games, but we have 30 of them to go through. So I don't, if you're interested, if we talk about a game that you know nothing about and you want to learn more, we just check our backlog. We have an episode about it. So that's what we're going to be doing today. Before we jump into re-ranking the games, I would like to kind of explain the ranking system and what these ranks actually mean, because people can get kind of finicky I don't know how to phrase it. People can get kind of worked up over tier rankings, but they're fun to do. This is all just for fun. I think at this point, you and I have both played enough games on Board Game Arena that we can kind of look at these with more of a kind of objective eye, you know? When we first started doing this, you know, I think we rated some games a lot higher than we normally would have just because, you know, I tried to make you play the best games that Board Game Arena has to offer, you know? But anyway, so to get into the ranking system, it's S through F, and the S tier games are games that are amazing that we would love to play at literally any time. The A tier games are great games for almost all occasions. The B tier games are good games that we'd be willing to play again. C tier is decent games, but we won't go out of our way to play them. D tier is we didn't really like it, probably won't play it again. And F tier is hated it. You cannot force us to play this game even at gunpoint. So that is that. Rather than looking at this tier list that we've already made, we're going to have the games kind of listed out randomly. And we're going to go through each one and kind of re-rank it and then compare it to see where they all ended up. So, Shay, do you have anything to add before we start?
I do not, except that that rundown was for you, the listener, and definitely not for me.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I know what the rankings are for.
We talked a little bit before we start recording how, like, you know, we decide the ranks together during the episode, but then I'm the one who manages the ranking system afterwards. I do it by myself. So I might have, you know, moved things around without Shay's approval. So this is, that's a real reason why we're doing this, is to make sure that we're kind of keeping each other, or you guys are keeping me honest on this, on these ranking systems. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump in. The first game to talk about is Railroad Inc. Shay, do you recall playing Railroad Inc.?
I do.
So just to very quickly talk about what the game is about. It's a roll and write game where you have these dice and they have different tracks on them. They're either going to be railroad tracks or highways, and you have also junctions on those, and you're rolling the dice and you have to use all of them to build out your own personal little map, and you score points by connecting exits. And there's 100 different expansions. I think on Board Game Arena there's still just 2, which I'm kind of shocked by. I thought they would have brought more by now. But the 2 that are on Board Game Arena are really good. And yeah, I think that it's one of the best roll and writes out there, in my opinion. Shay, go ahead and hit me with your opinion on this game.
Mid-B.
Mid-B? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would push for high B or A, but we'll stick it in B for now, and we'll see how it ends up. We can swap things around as we see fit. Next is welcome. All right. In the same similar vein, instead of a roll and write, the next one is a flip and write. It is welcome to your perfect home. It is kind of a similar thing where you have a map of a neighborhood. You have 3 streets and you're filling in numbers on the houses, and you're trying to create groups of houses with fences and stuff. And you are flipping over these cards and you're using the number and the ability on matching sets of cards. That's pretty much it. What do you think about the game, Shay?
There was a lot of that game that I really didn't understand. Like what was happening when I was taking a turn.
Yeah.
I think I put it in C, and I don't think I've played it again since then. So I don't know that I could.
So I think C then makes sense then. Yeah, I think C makes sense then. Yeah, I'm fine with that. So far, so good. All right, next is Splendor. Splendor is a, it's an engine building game where you are taking these resources and using the resources to pay for these cards, which will get you more resources and some will get you points. And then basically you're just taking turns, taking those resources and turning them in for cards, which are points. It sounds really, really dull when I say it like that, but it's actually pretty decent game. Shay, do you remember what you thought about this one?
Was this one of the ones that you did with Dan?
No, I don't think so.
No. Well, then the answer is no. Don't
you don't remember this one. Well, I'll definitely have to play it again because you like engine building games, and I think this is
one of the better ones.
We should put it at. I think we should put it just under Welcome to.
Okay. One of the better engine building games, and it is below Welcome to.
Yeah. Maybe. I say we stick it there for now. Maybe not like one of the better engine building games, but it's definitely one of the more accessible ones.
Okay.
And some people who like really like engine building might think it's too like simple.
Gotcha.
So we'll keep it at C for now.
All right.
But all right, next one is, we're sticking with the engine building thing. Next one is Space Base. Shay, I know you love this game.
I do love this game.
This one is, like I said, engine building game. You're rolling dice, and you are those on your turn. You'll activate blue powers with the dice rolls, and those will get you points and coins. And then you use those coins to buy better cards or these rockets. The rockets are the points. The cards are like spaceships, and then you're docking those spaceships onto your player board, and they push up any spaceship that was there, which then activates like or makes red powers available, and the red powers you get when it's not your turn. So yeah, it's a really great engine building game because you get stuff when it's not your turn, and that's like what's great about it. Yeah. So, where do you want to put Space Base?
I think that is the cusp between A and B. I think is where
I'm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let's throw it in A.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Copenhagen. Shay, do you remember recall this one?
I'm sure I will if you give a rundown of the game.
Yeah, so Copenhagen is kind of like, it's like a Tetris-y board game.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely remember this one.
Where some of the pieces have, like, windows on them, and those score you extra points if you're able to fill in a row or column. You're trying to fill in these rows and columns. Copenhagen is known for these tall buildings with, like, colorful windows and stuff. So you're trying to fill up your building with these, top building tiles, and some of them have windows. I think it's a pretty great game. Definitely a lot of hype over it. I don't know. I think it's fun to play in Board Game Arena, but I haven't gone out of my way to get it like in real life. So,
gotcha.
I'm like happy with like a solid B.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
Probably like right under Railroad Inc.
Yeah.
All right, next is Baron Park. Very similar type of game. It's a tile laying game where you are filling up it's pretty much a zoo, but it's just for bears. And you have these bear tiles, and a lot of them score you points. And whenever you cover spaces, some of these spaces have like workers on them or other abilities that will get you more enclosures and more building types and stuff. So. I think that something that we should note, if you haven't listened to our episode on Baron Park, is that Baron Park has a thing on Board Game Arena that lets you plan a future turn, which is like the best thing on Board Game Arena. Like, I love playing this game on Board Game Arena purely because it lets me do that. I think that's such a neat idea, and I'm saddened that it hasn't been done again on any other game on Board Game Arena. So,
on any other games?
No. I've never seen any other games that let you do that. So, I think that this goes in A tier below Space Base.
Yes, I would agree with you.
I think it's...
Yeah, I agree.
Cool. All right, next up is Pandemic. Everybody knows what this game is by now, right?
We did one in real life a couple years ago.
Yeah. It's a cooperative game, plays terribly turn-based on Board Game Arena. I don't know. I think, you know what? Before I say anything more about this game, Shay, where are you thinking?
C, I think.
Could I interest you in like low C, like bottom of C?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Cause I was almost thinking D, but maybe that's too harsh.
Yeah. I think if you get a good group of people who,
yeah, if you have the right group and you're playing it real time, it can be a really fun experience, but there's better co-op games on Board Game Arena.
Yes.
Now,
so. Yeah.
Speaking of which, next up is Forbidden Island. Yeah, it's Forbidden Island, like I said, also a cooperative game. Its theme is you are trying to capture these treasures before the island sinks. And it's the same designer as Pandemic, so it's very similar. But I think it just plays a little bit better on Board Game Arena because there's not as big of a map that Pandemic has.
Correct.
So what do you think, Shay?
I think mid-A.
Mid-A? Wow. I don't know about that.
Actually, now that you've pushed it back a little bit. I would put it in B. Put it in B.
B. Yeah. I think mid-B is... I kind of want to say low-B. I don't think it's a better game than Copenhagen.
Okay.
It's hard to compare because they're such different games.
Right.
But I think if you asked me, hey, do you want to play Copenhagen or Forbidden Island right now? I would choose Copenhagen way more.
Okay.
Way more often. I don't know. We can.
I mean, I disagree with you on that, but that's fine.
Okay, I think these next two we can do really quickly.
Yep.
I think the crew and the crew mission Deep Sea, we can both put an S tier, right?
Correct.
I think
correct.
We both still love that game. I haven't played it in a while. I need to. I'm literally looking at the box right now in my room. It's like easily available, and I could play it at any time.
Yeah.
But I need to play that game more. It's so good.
Yeah.
But if you aren't familiar, The Crew is a cooperative trick-taking game. It has all these missions, lots of fun. Definitely play it.
Yep.
Doesn't play great. Oh, it plays terrible async.
Oh, my God. Not, the worst.
Do not play the game async. But if you have a group of that, you can play it in real time. It's only like 10 or 15 bucks on Amazon. So buy it. Play it at your next family event. It's a lot of fun. Okay. Speaking of very good games, next up we've got Azul.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that one first, Lex?
Yeah, it's a tile drafting game. I've played a lot of it recently. I have some friends who really like the game. I like it too. I think I'm a little Azul'd out, though. I should mention that if you are looking into buying Azul, if like Azul sounds interesting to you, it's a really good introductory game. Like if people are like, hey, I want to play board games, but I don't know anything about board games, I usually kind of suggest Azul to start out. Because it's really easy to learn, and there's enough strategy that even people who like have been playing board games for a long time will still enjoy it. Basically, there's these groups of tiles, and they have these different patterns on them, and you're drafting those patterns and building them on your wall, and you score points for building tiles next to each other and for getting all sets of tiles and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's what do you think, Shay? Where do you want to put it?
See, this is – I'm affected by recency bias on this one because I just played a game with a couple of strangers on BGA and got absolutely
how'd you do
absolutely smoked.
I have a friend who was just like, if you ever want to feel bad about yourself, play a game of Azul with randos on Board Game Arena, because they will just break you. They won't just beat you, they will literally like push your head in the mud, destroy you. But yeah, how does that affect your feelings?
Well, so because of that, my initial thought was C, but it's definitely a better game than that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember when I was fresh and young to the world of Azul and how I felt about it then.
Yeah. I'm okay putting it somewhere between Forbidden Island and Copenhagen, or Copenhagen
ahead of Copenhagen. I think.
Hey, you really didn't like Copenhagen.
It's not that I didn't like it. It's just that
you just don't.
I would play those other games before I played Copenhagen again.
Sure.
That's all.
Sure. That's fair. Okay. All right. This next one is going to be an interesting one. It is. I forgot how they told us to pronounce it. A couple.
Yeah.
So this next game is Couple, which is a relatively unknown cooperative word game that a friend of the show, Bez, designed. I think that when I haven't played this game in a while. Shade, have you?
I think the last time I played was with you.
Did I tell you I played this game with Bez?
Oh, I don't think so. That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And at the very start, they were like, do you like playing this game with no communication or some communication? I was like, you're the designer of the game. We can play this however you want to play it.
Yeah.
And we ended up getting my high score, which I think is 11.
Oh, wow.
We did great. So
we should try that.
I don't know. It's really good. We had it in S, and it might just because we knew that the designer was listening to our podcast. I'm not sure if it is an S tier game. I think it's probably like, I think it's at the very least like low A or high B, but still like still very good.
Yeah, I would say it's not S or A just because there are a lot of occasions where that game would not make sense to play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a two player. I forget to mention it's only two player, which can kind of, you know, the player count is kind of important. So,
yeah.
But I would definitely say top of B.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely yeah, top of the B.
Good game.
Yeah.
Good game. We like that game. Okay, next one is Just One. Do you remember this one, Shay? Do you remember playing this one with your siblings?
Yes. That game was insane.
It was so much fun. I love playing games with your siblings.
Yeah. We're a trip, man.
Where do you think it should go?
I would say, oh boy, I would say between Railroad Inc. and Azul in the B tier.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
Same reasons.
I think
same reasons as Couple. Yeah. Like it's like a party game. So
it is definitely 100% a party game. I think it's my favorite party game.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, like I it's really cheap to get too. So I think I have two copies of the game just so I could combine materials and play like up to 12 or 14 people, because you can really play it at any player count other than like two or three, right?
Oh my god.
Yeah. You definitely need to play it at higher player counts, but it's just like so easy to teach. Anybody can play this game. And it's definitely my favorite party game, but at the end of the day, it's still a party game. So, you know, that's, it's not great for Board Game Arena. I'm not saying that like party games are less than like other games,
definitely.
But in terms of like, you know, what games you want to play on Board Game Arena, it's, you know, it's a hard sell sometimes. So, yeah, I'm fine with where it's at. So,
yeah.
Okay. Next up is Living Forest. So Living Forest is a push your luck, deck building game where you have, there's like three different win conditions, I believe. You can either like plant a certain number of different trees. You can collect a certain number of fire tokens. Four different win conditions. Plant the trees, fire tokens, gems, like have 12 or more different gems.
Or just then kill your opponent in real life.
Or just murder the people you're playing. No, I think I was wrong. I think it was just the three. Yeah, just those three.
Isn't there something to do with the sun that you can win with?
No, the sun you can't win with. What the sun does, it allows you to buy more cards. So, thank you. So that's that. Thanks. What was I going to say? Where do you think it should go, Shay?
I see where you're hovering over.
No, I didn't mean to do that. I wasn't trying to. I think it's pretty.
I would put it ahead of Railroad Inc. If I had my way.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
All right.
That's no contention there.
Man, I got to tell you, going through this chart again, I'm like, man, we should play that. Man, we should play that.
Yeah, I know. We should play that. We're so stuck on like None Shall Pass and Regicide that we've played like hundreds of games of. And every time I'm like, there's nothing to play on Board Game Arena. And it's like, there's so many good games.
I was going to say, we are approaching 10% of the games on Board Game Arena, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just they're adding more and more all the time. It's crazy. We can't keep up.
Yeah.
But okay, so next up is one we did with Dan. So we'll do Nova Luna and Patchwork at the same time because I don't think you've played either of these with me, right, Shay?
Think we may have played Patchwork together, but not Nova Luna for sure.
I'm going to have to think about this. I'm gonna put Patchwork low B and Nova Luna.
It's gotta be better than Pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I'm sticking those. I don't really want to talk about them. I think they're good games, but Patchwork is just a two-player game, and so it kind of suffers the same as like Couple. Thank you. And Nova Luna is like a pretty good game, but I just played another game that Uwe Rosenberg made. He did both of these games, Patchwork and Nova Luna. Mm-hmm. And there's a different game that just dropped called Applejacks, which is on Board Game Arena. Just dropped like yesterday. But there was one before that, and I can't think of the name of it right now. Let me go see if I can find it. It's called Sagani. Sagani is what it's called. And it's real good. Huh. It's much better than Nova Luna, in my opinion. But anyway.
There you go.
So that's Patchwork and Nova Lunaton. Okay, Burgle Bros. Another co-op experience. Where are we putting Burgle Bros?
I loved Burgle Bros.
Yeah, that game's pretty dope, isn't it?
I'm thinking, but oh man, did I like it more than Space Base?
Oh,
I think I did. I think I like.
Really?
I think what puts it over the top is that it's co-op.
You and I love
my experience playing against people on BGA has not been good. So I much prefer co-op games.
Yeah. We definitely lean more towards co-ops on this podcast for sure. I think it should go between Space Base and Baron Park.
I'm fine with that.
Are you cool with that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In my mind.
So it is an A tier.
Yeah. But
between those two.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Next up. This one's going to be a fun one, I think. Yeah. It is Wingspan. Very, very popular game. It is an engine building game where you're taking these bird cards and you're playing them to three different areas on your board that will power up different actions, such as laying eggs, which score you points, drawing more bird cards, and gaining food, which you need that food to play more cards. What do you think about Wingspan, Shay?
I think we had it too high originally.
I think you're right. I think you're right. It is a really good game, but I think we definitely over.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
I feel like this is another cuspy AB game.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's fine. I think ahead of Couple.
Yeah.
That
feels good.
I'm good with it. That feels right.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on is Caper Europe. Fun little... it's like the same theme as Burgle Bros, but this one is competitive instead of cooperative. You liked this game a lot, didn't you? It's a drafting game where you have these different thief cards, and you're drafting them and putting them at different locations and scoring points for like there's like a tug of war mechanic on these locations. What do you think, Shay?
See, I feel like this game clicked for me immediately.
Yeah.
I think you
beat me like our first time playing.
I think I beat you the first couple times we played.
Yeah, you're right.
Which usually boosts a game in my mind, but I feel like this one just clicked really well with me, which probably means that it's a very easy baby game. So
no, I disagree. I 100% disagree. I think it is a very approachable game.
Yeah,
people can play it, but I think the drafting. My big problem with the game is that the drafting feels a little bit too luck based.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of decisions to be made and a lot of like different ways to score points. So there's a lot of things to kind of consider. I think that I think it should go in low A.
Yeah.
Like right behind Baron Park.
I was going to put it ahead of Baron Park, but
yeah, that's fine.
Behind Baron Park is fine too.
I think either. I think above, like between Burgle Bros and Baron Park feels right to me.
I think my victory bias might be skewing that one. No.
I think it is a very good game. I think my defeat bias skewed me to put it lower when we were talking about it. All right, moving on. We are going on to Earth, which you and I are in the middle of a game of, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that one's actually about to crash and burn for me. So
I don't think so. You're doing extremely well.
I thought that
you've gotten like all okay, so Earth is yet another engine building game. It's a tableau building game, I should say, but also engine. You're playing these cards that are like environment cards to your tableau, and they have these little colored abilities on them, and whenever you take certain actions, you get to activate those color, or when anyone, for most of the cards, when anyone takes that colored action, you also take that ability. And there's 1,000 different ways to score points. I love this game.
Oh yeah.
I think it's really, really, I think it's better than Wingspan as far as engine building game goes.
Oh, for sure.
I think
would you say it's better than Space Base?
Is it better than Space Base though? I think like, what makes me hesitant to say that is that like it's not nearly as beginner friendly as Space Base is. Like there's so many different symbols and like mechanics going on.
Yeah.
It feels like there's like one too many mechanics going on to make it better than Space Base. Like Space Base, I feel like, has the perfect amount of like luck and skill and mechanics.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think I'm okay putting it like right behind Space Base.
Yeah.
You cool with that?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
All right.
Now, your favorite engine building game. The next one up, game up is It's a Wonderful World. This is the game where when I showed it to you and you're like, oh, wow, I really like engine building games. That's when we played Wingspan and Space Base and Earth and, like, all, I tried to find all the Living Forest. I was like, okay, I found the thing that Shay likes about board games. Yeah. Like, let's play these to death. So what do you think about It's a Wonderful World? Has it lost any of its shine? S-tier game.
It's above? An S for me.
I'm fine with that. I think it is... I would
find it difficult to find a reason not to put it at the top of this list.
I think we should put it in between the cruise, yeah. Just for shits and giggles.
yeah, to balance it out there. Yeah.
Okay. Next up is definitely by far the lowest ranked game. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
It is a game called Steamworks. It is terrible. It's not good. We did not like it. I can't even remember what you're doing in it. It was so forgettable. You're like building these machines, but they don't like do it much for you. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we just didn't understand it.
It was really hard to understand what you were supposed to be doing in the game.
It did not click for us, and that makes it hard to like fairly judge a game.
Yeah.
But I've played it twice now.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. I've played it twice now, and I still like can't figure it out. So, I feel like I know the rules and I know the mechanics, but it's still like such a convoluted mess of a game that I can't figure out like how to do well in it.
Yeah,
and so yeah, I just don't like it. So do we put it in D or F?
It feels mean to put it in F. But
no, I think we should put it.
Well,
in F.
So I feel bad putting it in F. But if you've played it more since then,
yeah,
and still don't like it, I am not going to fight you on that one.
I'm putting it in F.
That's fine.
You could not pay me to play this game again.
You could pay me to play it again. You could pay me to do play just about any game.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay, next up is another game that we might have a little bit of bias on. It is None Shall Pass, which if you have not listened to our podcast before, we had the designers of the game on the show, and I highly recommend going back and listening to that episode. It's such an interesting take on the development game development process and what it's like putting a game on Board Game Arena and like the challenges with that. Shay, guess how many None Shall Pass games have been played on Board Game Arena? All right, this is what I'll say, is when None Shall Pass left beta and became an official game on Board Game Arena, I think it only had like 200 or 300 games played, and half of that was you and me.
That might be okay. True.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's exact. That I'm not exaggerating there. How many games do you think now that it's been out, what, half a year now? Something like that? A couple of months?
I'm going to say 1,200.
It is 11,000.
Whoa!
Yeah, so congrats to Aaron and Kendra Packer, your game. I would consider that like a hit for an indie game on Arena. I would very much hope that that has translated into people physically buying the game from the game crafter.
I would hope so too, because
it is. Shay, have you played your physical version?
No, not yet.
Yeah.
I haven't found the people for it.
Yeah, no shame. No shame.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've only played mine like once or twice, so.
But it looks really nice.
It happens. It doesn't look great on your shelf.
I do understand the appeal of neoprene mats now. Like, this just looks nice to take out of the box. And I can only imagine if it had great. Neoprene mats.
How much nicer it would be with neoprene mats. Yeah. Yeah, it just feels good to own a game, doesn't it? Just have it on your shelf. It's like collecting books, you know? But nerdier. Okay, we're way off track here. Where are we putting None Shall Pass?
It's an S-tier game.
S-tier, for sure.
I don't think that's biased at all. To be honest. No, genuinely, I don't. Because we played it and covered it before we talked to the Packers.
That's true. And we both love how... It's so different. It's so different than anything else you can play. Not just on Board Game Arena, like in real life, too. Like, I don't have any other dungeon crawler, dungeon defender experience that I can play with literally anyone and play it in like under an hour. It's like such a like little compact, like just like a perfect like popcorn style game. Yep. But there's still a lot of like decisions to make and stuff. So I don't know. I love it. It's definitely an S tier. I'm going to put it. I don't know if it's above It's a Wonderful World. Like right below It's a Wonderful World.
Yeah.
Just further separating the bookends of the two crew, different the crew games.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Stone Age. I don't know if it's one of the first, but it's definitely one of like the first to get popular worker placement game. Which Shay, you and I have been playing a few worker placement games. The most recent one being Agricola.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about more in the future.
Engine builders are my favorite.
You think worker placer is your least favorite?
I'm just not good at them.
Yeah, they can be kind of hard to get your head around.
But I'm just not good at worker placement games.
Yeah. We also played Lords of Waterdeep, which isn't on Board Game Arena. We played that on Steam. I really thought you would have liked that game more. I'm kind of dumb. I'm kind of bummed about how much you bounced off that game.
I just think it needs to click for me. I think that's the way it is with all of them, to be honest with you. Like, they just don't click.
You know, and some people just like different mechanics, and if worker placements aren't your thing, then that's just it. Or if you just haven't found one that like has clicked for you yet, then you know, that's just how it is. So Stone Age, where are we putting it? You want to put it at like right below Splendor.
Yeah, that's fine.
In C, like right below Splendor in C tier.
Yeah,
I think that tracks for me. Okay, next up is Regicide, the other game that you and I play constantly. Where are we putting it?
It's got to be an S tier, right?
Yeah, let's put it right below None Shall Pass. Yeah. It is a cooperative card game. You can play it with a standard deck of cards. It's great. It's a lot of fun. You can teach it to just about anybody.
So, yeah, it's real easy.
It's good.
Very accessible.
Next up, we have the Castles of Burgundy. Shay, you've been playing this game quite a bit, haven't you?
Yes. We'll talk about it later on in the episode, just how much I've been playing this game. Where do you feel that it goes?
S tier.
Yeah. I would agree with you.
I think it's an S tier game. I think it goes
right there.
Above
nope.
It's a Wonderful
nope.
World.
Nope. Too far. Too far.
Really?
There you go. Right there. Nope. There you go.
I think it's a better game than It's a Wonderful World.
I will let you put it there and consider.
I have
it.
Control of the mouse, so that's where it's going. But we can fight about it more later.
I think It's a Wonderful World is better, but this can be your It's a Wonderful World.
Yeah, I haven't dropped $300 on a deluxe version of It's a Wonderful World. So
fair
maybe
enough.
Maybe I'm biased because of that sunk cost fallacy type thing.
No, it's definitely very good. Definitely very good. Yeah. Great,
really
even.
Great game.
Superb.
All right. Yeah. If you don't, I'm not going to explain Castle Burgundy here. It's too much to explain.
It's a tile drafting
this podcast.
Game.
Yeah, well,
and also an
it's,
engine builder.
It's kind of a tile. It's hard to explain because it does like something is just so different with dice. It's a dice placement game where you're using the dice. No, not even dice placement. It's weird. You have two dice that you roll. And then
just play a game.
You use those dice. Yeah, just play it. Just play it. What are you doing?
Yeah,
just play it.
Get on
it's
board
really
game
good
right now. Play the game.
Just play it. We'll play it with you. Yeah. It's really good. Okay. Next up is Boop. Shay, I know how you feel about Boop.
I'm very cool on Boop.
It's a two-player abstract game, which is normally not my jam. I suck at chess. I suck at checkers. But if you put a cute animal theme on a game, it just clicks in my brain, and I can do really well at it. So, I think that I like that game for that reason, but I'm okay with the fact that you didn't fall in love with it completely. So I'm okay. You gave me Castles of Burgundy above It's a Wonderful World, so I'm fine putting this wherever you want to put.
We can put it at the top of the C tier.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
Yeah. I wouldn't go out of my way to play it, but if somebody really wanted, like you, for example, if you were like, hey, I really want to play Boop, I'd be like, all right, fine.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But next up, speaking of cute animal games, next up is Spots. I just played this game last night with real people in the real world.
Oh, wow. Look at you.
Yeah, it was great. I got crushed. I did so bad, but it was fun still. I love Spots. It's kind of a push your luck, dice rolling, kind of like Can't Stop, but with more stuff going on to it.
It's like trick-taking. Not trick-taking.
No.
Sorry, that's real board game term.
Term, yeah, no. They're
called
you do
tricks.
Take treats.
You
they're no.
Actions.
Yes, you're right. You're right. There are different actions that, and what it's fine.
They're called tricks in the game because they're dog tricks.
Yeah, like roll over and stuff. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Exactly. You just have these dogs that have these little spots that you're trying to cover with dice, and it's great. It's a great game. Where do you want to put it, Shay?
Let's put it between Burgle Bros and is that Caper?
Yeah,
let's put it between Burgle Bros and Caper.
That feels right to me. Yeah, it's an A-tier game.
Yeah, we'll talk about that game again later in the episode as well.
Yeah, sure. All right, next up is Hadara. D-tier.
No. I thought it was fine. I think when we played it, it was still in beta and was undergoing
I think it needed some polishing. Yeah.
I think it's a pretty good played game, it though. Again. I think C tier is where it belongs. Ahead of Boop.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Top of C tier.
Yeah. And with the potential for growth, if we ever play it. We
definitely play, because I've played it. We really should. I think as a drafting game, it has these two different drafting modes, which feels a lot better than most any other drafting games I've ever played, especially on Board Game Arena. It doesn't play like most drafting games. It doesn't play super well async, and that might be the problem. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we need to play this game real time because I think it's a lot better that way.
Yeah.
That's okay. True. Last up is the game Photosynthesis.
Man, I love this game.
I know you love this game.
I remember I was so very shocked. Tepid on it.
I just feel like it's too mean of a game for my taste.
I don't understand
all of the blocking that you can do. Oh man, it's so cutthroat. Like,
yeah, but
you can literally block someone out of being able to do anything on their turn.
Yeah, but I don't think that necessarily is malicious. You know what I mean? Like, it's just where your trees happen to be in relation to the sun.
You should play this game with randos on Board Game Arena. Tell me it's not malicious.
I know that my opinion will change when I play with randos on BGA. But like, if you're playing with your friend, like I was never trying to block you from doing anything when we played.
Yeah, but I feel like then you're not
your wife was
playing the game right. Like, I feel like the way you're supposed to play this game is strategically blocking your opponents from being able to do anything. And I love the fact that that's not how you saw the game. But that's why you like it so much more. But I feel like one experience where you run into that and your feelings on this game are going to change pretty drastically.
All right. Well, you tell me.
So there's another game. I think it goes in between Stone Age and Pandemic.
Oh, that is brutal.
Or the highest I'll go is above Nova Luna.
I haven't played Nova Luna, so I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say between Nova Luna and Welcome 2.
No, I'm fine with.
Yeah, your review of Nova Luna was
I will say there's a yeah. And it's funny because before I played Sagani, I really liked Nova Luna.
Yeah.
When I played Sagani, I was like, oh my gosh, this is Nova Luna, but 100 times better. So
there you go.
It's funny how those experiences can change how you perceive a game.
Yeah.
Okay, that is our tier list.
That looks a lot more balanced than it used to be.
It does. Yeah. It does, doesn't it? Just real quick, I'll go through them real fast. Our S tier games that are amazing games to play at any time is The Crew, Castles of Burgundy, It's a Wonderful World, None Shall Pass, Regicide, and The Crew again. I should specify, the first Crew, the better Crew, is the sequel game, Mission Deep Sea. And then the not as good, but still very good version of The Crew is the first game, which is like a space theme. Search for Planet 9 or something like that. Yep. So, very good games. A-tier games that we've played so far are great games for almost all occasions. Is Space Base, Earth, Burgle Bros, Spots, Caper Europe, and Baron Park. I'm good with all of that. B-tier games are good games that we'll be willing to play again. Is Wingspan, Couple, Living Forest, Railroad Inc., Just One, Azul, Copenhagen, Forbidden Island, and Patchwork.
Can you flip Couple and Wingspan?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm fine. I think Couple's better than Wingspan.
Yeah, that's fine by me. C tier are decent games, but we won't go out of our way to play them. Is Hedara, Boop, Photosynthesis, Nova Luna, Welcome to Splendor, Stone Age, and Pandemic. We didn't put any games in our D tier because I decided to move the one game we had before, Steamworks, into F tier because I hated it and I will not play it again. So That is our tier list. I will go ahead and save this and put it up on our social media stuff if you want, and our Discord if you want to take a look at it and reference it and fight about it. Come to our Discord. You can find our website at virtualanalog.info, where we have our Discord link, our Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. You can, if you are really, really upset about our tier rankings and think we did something very, very wrong, you can let us know on our email, which is virtuallyanalog@gmail.com. Even if you bash us and think our opinions are stupid, I still love reading your emails. So go ahead and send those hate mails. So that is the ranked games. That took a lot longer than I thought it was going to, Shay. do you want to quickly go through some of the games that we've been playing?
Yeah, sure. So
you start.
As I alluded to earlier, as Lex said earlier, I have been doing a lot of tournaments on Board Game Arena, mainly for Can't Stop. I'm doing really well in like two of them, because it's like a daily tournament. And then I'm doing really badly in every other time I've tried to get into that tournament. I also played a Castles of Burgundy tournament where I got absolutely stomped into the dust in the group stage. I made a spreadsheet and shared it with Lex, and Lex, you saw how poorly I did.
It was, you did better than I thought you'd do, I'll say that.
I mean, I won three games, which that's out of 11 more, was more than I thought, but
more than I would have for sure.
I will preface my this anecdote about the Castles of Burgundy story by saying I did not expect to do well in that tournament. I was just really itching to play Castles of Burgundy, so
yeah, you manage your expectations for it.
Yeah.
And the only way to get better is by playing better opponents. So. That's cool.
And then I'm doing
I'm glad you are two
tournaments of spots right now.
Nice. So how are you doing in those games?
Crushing it. I'm crushing it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It'll be fun until I come into a game where I'm playing a player who knows
really much strategy in that one, though. Like, there's more strategy than Can't Stop, but it's still the luck of the dice.
Yes.
Maybe I wish you luck on those. And yeah, it's I'm really glad to hear you're kind of taking advantage of all of the like fun stuff that BJ has to offer, because not a whole lot of people get into, like, you have to really not mind playing with random people, and I know a lot of people don't like that. It gives them anxiety.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say, like, compete with, you know, even a couple months ago when we were recording an episode, I said how much I didn't like playing with other people.
Yeah,
and now I've graduated to the big leagues, baby.
Very nice.
What have you been playing?
I've been playing nothing but Tears of the Kingdom. That's it. I said it before. It was the last video game they're making, the new Zelda game, and they really went all out. They took one of my favorite games, which was Breath of the Wild, and they said, "How can we make this better and let people make a bunch of penises in it?" And that's what they did, and it's great.
Yep, and that's wonderful. What we love about the video game community.
Yeah. Yeah, Time to Penis was insane. It was insane on this one.
Yeah,
but no, it really is. I mean, Shay, do you have any plans on playing it?
I don't want to spoil anything. I don't. Not yet. I haven't finished Breath of the Wild yet.
Okay, so that's fair. That's fair.
I definitely don't want to play it before then.
That's fair.
Also, I don't want to spend $70. On a game
that is also fair,
who has a lot of mechanics that I didn't like. So
what was your big thing that you didn't like?
I hate weapon decay.
I hated that too. And what's great about Tears of the Kingdom is that there's a new fuse ability where you can just fuse shit onto your weapons and it re-ups the durability when you do that.
Yeah, I saw somebody made a skateboard.
Well, really you can cool. do that too. You can do that too. You can fuse things to your shield or to your weapon. But if you have like a favorite spear that you've been using for a while and then it starts to break, you can literally just like, oh, I picked up a goblin horn. I'll just fuse the end to the goblin horn, raise the attack a bunch, and then it also is not breaking anymore.
Oh, dope.
So, yes, they had a really elegant solution with the... They knew that people didn't like the weapon decay stuff.
Maybe I'll put down Breath of the Wild and play Tears of the Kingdom instead.
Honestly, I think you should. I don't think you need to finish Breath of the Wild, but
is it like a direct sequel?
It is.
That is not something they do very often in Legend of Zelda games.
No, they definitely do not.
Maybe.
My expert
on Legend of Zelda, Dan.
It's very rare.
Correct, yeah. I think.
Yeah,
I think it was just. Man, he's gonna slap me around if I can't remember.
Is it Ocarina of Time?
It was one of them. And then Warrior of Majora's Space Mask or something like that.
No, Majora's Mask. Yeah, it is. It's great. It's been a lot of fun. I don't blame you for being not wanting to jump on it because of the price tag, but it's not like Nintendo's ever going to put it on sale. So it's you're going to eat that cost eventually. But
I can wait 4 years.
I don't even know. I don't know.
I can wait 10 years. When does the third one come out? That's what I'll buy. That's what I'll buy this one.
Yeah. But anyway, I've been really enjoying that. That's been taking up most of my free time.
Well, good. So I'm glad.
That's better.
I'm glad you like it.
I
don't know if you noticed this, but I talked all about board games. You talked only about video games. So
yeah. I guess we're really going to have to change. Yeah, I know. Well, like I said, it's the last video game. Right. After this, no more video games. It's all board games from here on out. So enjoy the Tears of the Kingdom as long as you can, because after that, this is going to be solely a board game podcast.
Yep.
Speaking of which, next time on Virtually Analog, we are going to be talking about A Feast for Odin and Agricola, two Uwe Rosenberg games, which I really love and I think Shay is okay on. Knowing how you feel about worker placement makes
This is going to be a rough episode for me.
I think if any game's going to click for you, it's going to be these two. And I think we just need to play them again. And I think also we need to play Agricola with the cards, because we didn't do that.
The cards
help a lot.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. There are like there's two different types of cards that get you bonuses and stuff whenever you take certain actions. It's great.
That sounds like it would have helped a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. So that's it. If you have any questions about the show, or you just want to, you know, have us talk about something, you can email us at virtuallyanalog@gmail.com. Please share the show. It's, you know, we're back to like doing monthly episodes, but we really want to do that, like get back to weekly or biweekly. And we'll be more motivated to do that if people are, you know, talking about the show and listening to the show. So please, if you have friends who are into board games or into video games, I think they'd be interested, please use the our website, virtuallyanalog.info. Leave a rating on iTunes or Spotify. And yeah, I think that's about it. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you guys next time.
Bye.